Mr. Chairman and friends. At present, week by week, we are following, or trying to follow at least in imagination, the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path. And it is hoped that as we proceed, as the weeks go by, this very important aspect of the Buddha's teaching does become clearer and clearer. Now, though, as we go on week by week, the teaching may become clearer, certain difficulties at the same time do, in fact, arise. Difficulties at least from the point of view of the speaker, if not of the point of view of the audience. One difficulty is that every week, every time we begin a new talk, a new lecture, it becomes increasingly difficult to recapitulate. Some of you, those who've been coming regularly, might have observed that every week I start off with a short resume of the ground that we have covered before. I recapitulate very briefly the content of all the previous talks. But as I say, as the weeks go by, that does become more and more and more difficult, because obviously the further we get along in the series, the more there is to repeat and recapitulate. It's just like a snowball. You start off with a very small ball of snow, containing a very small quantity of snow, and when it's small, it's very easy to push it along the ground. But as it is pushed along the ground, as it rolls over and over, it of course gathers accretions of more and more snow, and it gets bigger and bigger. So the bigger it becomes, the more difficult it becomes to push it along. So recapitulation is rather like that. The further we progress in the series, the more material we accumulate, the more difficult it becomes at the beginning of every talk to go over all that ground, even briefly, again. So I should perhaps warn you that from now onwards, as from this week, when we reach our sixth talk, there will be, in fact, no detailed recapitulation of the ground that we've covered before, of the stages of the path that we have so far traversed. Instead, there'll be just a very brief reminder, and this should be, at least for those who've come along regularly, quite enough. So far as others are concerned, so far as those who come along for perhaps the second time or perhaps even the first time, so far as they are concerned, the talk, I hope, tonight's talk, I hope, is sufficiently self-contained to be intelligible by itself, even if you haven't heard any of the previous talks. And of course, in any case, if difficulties do arise, all the talks are of course being recorded, and the complete set of talks will in due course be available after the completion of the last talk. Now we know, most of us already, that the Noble Eightfold Path consists, as its name in fact suggests, of eight steps, they're usually called, but it would be more accurate to speak, as I have been speaking, of stages or aspects. And this Eightfold Path is also divided into two main sections. The first section is known as the Path of Vision, and the second section is known as the Path of Transformation. The first section, the Path of Vision, contains only one stage of the path, that is to say, perfect vision. And the second section of the path contains all the other stages, all the other aspects, all seven of them. Perfect vision, this first step or first stage of the path, consists in what we may describe as a direct insight into the nature, the ultimate nature of existence itself. We may say it corresponds to a sort of initial glimpse of reality above and beyond all concepts, above and beyond the limitations of the relative mind. And this vision, this insight, this glimpse is not just something intellectual, not something theoretical. It is more of the nature of what we may describe as a spiritual experience. Now, all the other stages of the path, those that comprise the second section of the path, these represent the transformation, or if you like, the transmutation of different aspects of one's own being, one's own nature, one's own consciousness, in the light of that perfect vision, in the light of that initial insight, that initial spiritual experience. The second stage of the path, you may recall, is perfect emotion. The third is perfect speech. The fourth is perfect action. And these three represent the transformation in the light of perfect vision of different aspects of our individual nature, our individual existence. Fifthly came, of course, perfect livelihood, with which we dealt last week. And perfect livelihood, as we then saw, represents the transformation not only of the individual, but even of the collective existence, the transformation of our whole social life, our political life, and our economic life.